It's the Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis with Senate Republican Leader John Braun. And the budget outlook for our state is not good. Right now, the budget is already out of whack. It is, if we keep on going the way we're going, according to the financial experts, we won't have enough money to pay our bills, quite simply. Talk about where the state's budget is, where what's going to happen to get that thing back back in the black.
Yeah, so, you know, we had this big debate during the session about, you know, how we should address our some fiscal challenges. And I want to be clear, we are not in a recession. The state revenue continues to grow. But because of the runaway spending from the Democratic majority, we had a deficit. And the Democratic majority, instead of trying to, you know, pull in their spending, be more thoughtful about what we focus on, really deliver the key services and not a bunch of other stuff that folks aren't asking for, they chose to raise taxes by, you know, $9 billion over the next 4 years at the state level, another $3 billion roughly at the local level, to plug the hole. And here we are roughly 6 months later, not quite 6 months later, and the most recent revenue forecast puts the state budget almost $1 billion underwater. I've never seen a budget go underwater so quickly, $1 billion deficit after only a few months. Pretty unprecedented. I think gives you an idea of kind of the spiral that we're getting into: overspending, taxing to you know, Democrats taxing to pay for their overspending, putting more pressure on businesses, and businesses making decisions that takes, you know, that is very hard on an economy and leads to less revenue, and it goes on. We have to get control of our spending and put together a budget that focuses on key services for folks that really need them and doesn't overspend and lives within our means.
You talk about businesses. I mean, are there some examples of businesses struggling because of these new taxes and that struggle hurting the economy?
Well, there's lots of examples. The one I would point out, because it's been, this isn't me saying, this is just repeating what the state's economist has said for the last over 9 months, is our housing starts are way down, you know, and what folks don't realize is, of course, if you say we're not building new houses, you think, well, that's not helping our housing crisis. We don't have enough houses we should be building. But our regulatory environment, our tax environment is running builders off, which is bad for just having lodging for everybody, but also is a very important part of the revenue, you know, the economy that drives revenue to the state. So it's actually, according to the state economist, again, not me, that's having a big negative effect on our state revenue. So that's a very good, big example where, you know, it has two enormous effects on people in the state of Washington. It makes housing more scarce and therefore more expensive, and it's hurting state revenue. So, you know, the state is finding it difficult to deliver the services that are necessary.
But I thought the reason for raising taxes was to continue services. And I mean, is the state showing overall improvement on things and the services it provides, or is the state struggling to provide services?
That's a great point. And so, you know, the Democratic majority continues to have this kind of tax first mentality. If they got a problem, it means more money, we got to take more taxes. And instead of focused on outcomes, you know, whether it's more housing in our state, whether it's homelessness, whether it's providing health care or mental health services to folks who need it, across the board, we are not seeing, you know, an improvement in the services delivered. In many cases, particularly in cases having to do with children, we're seeing absolute failure at the state agency level in many cases, resulting in harm to children, and in a lot of cases, very significant financial fines as a result of litigation and tort payments.
These financial fines, when we talk about the budget, of course, there's the revenue, and that's the taxes, and then there's the spending. And one bit of spending that seems to be going up and up and up is the amount of money the state spends on either settling lawsuits or on lawsuit outcomes. That's really grown, hasn't it?
Oh, it's grown tremendously, particularly over the last 5 years. And that's absolutely a result of mismanagement by our state agencies. Just to put it kind of in perspective, when I first came to Olympia over 10 years ago now, annual payouts for tort liability, meaning state did something wrong, they were sued, and the court system decided the state was at fault and awarded a penalty. It was somewhere in the $100 million range, which is a lot of money. But now we're routinely, $500 million to $1 billion per year in tort liability. In fact, this is one of the it gets a little bit too in the weeds, so I want to be careful here. But one of the things we complained about with the budget the Democrats passed this last year is one of the biggest gimmicks was they didn't put any money in there for tort liability. They let There's an account we put money to, and then when the state loses the lawsuit, it's paid out of that account. They put zero in there, knowing, absolutely knowing, that the previous year that there was over $500 million and it was likely to be more. And now they're coming back now and saying, hey, we got to fill this in to the tune of about $600 million that we owe folks, and we but you didn't put anything in the budget. So a known shortfall in the existing budget. And in addition to trying to backfill that, they're looking at somewhere, it's a range still, but roughly, 2 to 3.3 billion dollars in expected tort liability over the next 4 years. That's just crazy. Well, no, for two reasons, right? One, it means there's a lot of people getting hurt, and when you actually look at these cases, it's mostly children. It's tragic. And so people are getting hurt, and then the state is being held accountable for that, and we're paying out hundreds of millions, billions, in over the next few years expected in payments to folks that the state mismanaged or the state didn't handle their responsibility. And it's getting almost no attention in the media. It's getting zero attention from the Democratic majority. They just want to pay the bill and kind of sweep it away. And I don't think they can do this anymore. They got to face the fact that we are not delivering for our citizens in many areas that are causing them harm.
So this is a problem on two fronts. One, the things that are causing the lawsuits need to be dealt with. I think everybody would agree with that. That's not a partisan thing. And
I hope
then
not.
on the other side, you've got to deal with the money to pay for these lawsuits. You said you threw out a number there over 4 years, 2.3 billion. That's significant for
Yeah.
the emergency budget.
Oh yeah, it's huge. It's a range. The range they give is 2.1 billion up to $3.3 billion. The midpoint 2.7 is what they're asking for. That is a lot of money. Think about what that could deliver in terms of reduced taxes or co cover ex services that help folks. It's just, I read this. I'm not, I didn't, in the last few days, somebody said, it's costing us so much in tort liability to cover our previous failures that we don't have enough money to prevent future failures. And I think there's some truth to that. We are, our state has been so mismanaged over the last, 15 plus years that we are hurting folks in a material way, and we're having a substantial tort liability as a result. As you said, and I said, this is both tragic on the personal level and financially ruinous for the state.
So you have the money. You're going to need to find this money somewhere for, by you, I mean the legislature, and by the legislature, I guess I mean the Democrats are going to need to find this money to pay for these lawsuits somewhere. On top of it, the superintendent of public instruction recently, after seeing some pretty dismal test scores, said we need more money for math. I mean, and that's something that you don't necessarily disagree with, right? I mean, so you've got, this is just one example of an agency asking for more money on top of the lawsuit money, on top of the, just the everyday expenses the state has to pay, right?
Yeah, and so it's kind of odd. I mean, I have lots of disagreements with the superintendent of public instruction. I don't disagree with his focus on improving math skills. The only thing I'd say is it's about time. This has been an issue for years. We have worked on it. I've worked on it for the last several years to try to get more services to help students get back on track on math. So it's about time. But he doesn't get a pass. You know, recognize when we have a $78 billion budget over 2 years, about 43% of that. So, you know, $35 billion, not you know, thereabouts, is going towards K-12 basic education. So we are spending an enormous amount of money educating our kids. And I have supported investing in K-12 public education. But the idea that we have all that money, and in order to fix this math problem, we need another $10 million, and that's going to do the trick. Well, on one hand, I don't begrudge the additional expense if it's really going to make a difference. But let's not look the other way at all the failure we've seen with that other $35 billion over 2 years. This is both time, you know, focus on the right thing, but time late, and a little bit blinders on focusing on the bigger problem.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this last week, or not last week, but the last time we talked, is this idea that, you know, are the people getting what they're paying for? Are they getting quality for what they're paying for? You know, I mean, you got extra taxes just went up. The day before we recorded this, taxes went up in a myriad of different areas. And this kind of gets back to this. Are people getting more for their money? More, are they getting what they think they should be getting for the money that they're spending?
Well, I can't speak for everybody, but the folks I talk to are pretty frustrated. Frustrated that our school system is failing. Frustrated that we're having trouble with housing. Frustrated that we're having trouble with homelessness. You know, the list goes on and on. And these are things they expect the state to deal with, and the state should deal with. The state is well funded. We have a very robust budget. I would say it's overspent budget, and yet we continue to fall short and delivering the things that folks need. And now, as you said, just a day or so ago, we have enormous new taxes on the plate. You know, the new sales tax on many services. Washington has never had sales tax on services before. The Democrats added enormous new sales taxes on all kinds of things. You're going to be surprised over the next, you know, month or so, as you go out and purchase certain different types of services, that all of a sudden you're going to be paying sales tax where you never did before. You know, a little less visible, but substantial business and occupation taxes went into effect at the same time on businesses across our state. That's going to drive up costs for consumers. There's just no other way around it. So folks are going to see substantial increase in their cost of living in Washington, so that to fill the never-ending need for new revenue from the majority Democrats. And they're already a little bit grumpy about the services they're getting. Like I said, whether it's education or healthcare or behavioral health or homelessness, we're falling short as a state. And now they're going to be asked to pay more. And based on the projections so far, we're going to come in a huge deficit in this next session. And if the Democrats, you know, stick to their tax-first strategy, they're going to want to roll out more taxes. Which is going to drive down our economy. As I said earlier, it's a cycle, and it's not a cycle up. It's a cycle down for the state of Washington that we need to make some hard decisions and turn around.
Do you think Democrats will really propose more taxes, raising taxes again in the upcoming session for the supplemental budget?
Well, I would certainly hope not, but
hope is one thing. What do you think will happen?
I mean, hope won't get me very far in this case, because all I hear, Democrats who are, you know, a lot of them are just keeping their head down because they know they just passed a budget with enormous new taxes that people don't like, that's not delivering, makes unnecessary cuts in spite of all these new taxes. There are a few out there talking, and the ones that are talking are mostly talking about additional taxes. Again, they think the solution to the problem is additional taxes. I just heard today from someone that, you know, they're going to open up, you know, some of these, the sales tax on services or the B&O tax bills that they pass, and see if they can expand them to cover more folks, and thereby, you know, pull more money out of people's pockets around the state. That's what I've heard spoken. Or people are being quiet. I couldn't predict very accurately what they'll actually do.
Well, this will be the first budget for Governor Bob Ferguson. So I guess it starts with him, right? That's how the process works, right? He'll propose a budget and then the legislature will take that budget and build something, kind of using that as a guide, I guess. So I guess it's just a wait and see at this point, but there's no doubt that there one of two things has to happen, right? You have to need more revenue, which means more taxes, or you have to make some cuts. Are there things that can be cut? Do you think there are enough cuts that can be made to balance the budget?
I think they've put themselves in a very bad position. Their best opportunity to find savings that made sense, that didn't impact citizens across the state, it was during the biennial budget process, which was this year. They had a choice, a very clear choice. We offered them an option that, frankly, was much more generous on the social services and services for folks, vulnerable folks around our state, than the budget they passed, and didn't rely on new taxes. It just said, hey, we're going to have to hold off on some of these new expenses. The one that we've talked about a lot is additional pay for state workers that we frankly just couldn't afford. And knowing that they're already among the best paid in the state, we felt like that was the right thing to do. Democrats passed on that, and that ship has sort of sailed. So they're in a real box. The real opportunities they had for savings without hurting people, it's going to be hard to find now. So I think it can be done, but it's going to take them willing to listen to other ideas for savings. It's going to take them willing to make hard decisions rather than just, as I said, the tax first and then spread out more money and hope this problem goes away. That is very clearly not working in Washington state. They need a new approach. As always, Republicans are going to be willing to work with them and propose solutions, but at least in the last year, they've not been interested in listening to those.
Are there ways to increase revenue without raising taxes?
Yeah, absolutely. The way you do that is you build a strong, robust, growing economy. And frankly, that's what Washington had for years. We were very fortunate to have a strong economy, that flourished even during the pandemic. And that's why if you look over time, our revenues have grown substantially as a state. And even now they're growing. They're just growing at a much slower rate. And the Democrats are used to spending much faster. But you do that with a light touch on the business climate with reasonable, affordable taxes, which is where Washington, if you go back 10 years, Washington was a pretty competitive state when it came to taxes on businesses and individuals. Now we're getting worse, and we're going to be among the worst in the country very soon. That's on top of a very high cost of living. I think we're like the third most expensive place in the country to live now, third or fourth. I think it's fourth. We know what works, what used to work in Washington, and the Democratic majority has literally gone out of their way to crush what was working. And as a result, you see businesses, slowing growth or moving out. Luckily, some of them are starting to speak up and say, hey, what you're doing is destroying our business model. We can't be successful. And therefore, if we're not successful, our communities aren't successful, and ultimately Washington State's not successful.
And we've talked a lot about spending already, but I know there's something I've never heard the time I've been in the legislature. I guess I haven't heard Republicans ever say, there should be cuts with education, but education is certainly gets the most money. Are there any obvious things that you were like, here's an area where we can save some money? It's not even a big deal. Something that maybe the government is something wacky the government is doing that. Just give examples of that.
Yeah. So there's no magic thing, you just do this and everything will work out. I mean, when you get into the budget, it's a big, complex thing. What you have to do is bend that cost curve over time to match, expected revenues and not get, not keep adding additional bells and whistles. So the first thing we should do is stop adding new expenses where we can. And there's a ton of opportunity to do that. I'll use a simple example.
Are we still adding new expenses?
Absolutely. I mean, the biggest one, as I said, is we just added $4 billion in additional expenses for paying wages to state employees. That's a big number, $4 billion. we should, you know, we talked earlier about tort. There's things we can do in terms of operating government better to reduce our tort liability. Absolutely. I'll give you a really simple example of one that might fit the, you know, your description, which is, I think, a pretty straightforward, logical thing to do. I think it's 2 years ago, it might have been 3 years ago, the Democrats passed a bill that said for our higher ed financial aid system, which is the best in the country, I might add, already was already the best in the country. They wanted to say, if you get a financial aid, historically, you have 5 years to finish. You can get that aid for 5 years to finish a 4-year degree. So there's a little bit of flex in there. I'm not sure that's the right answer, but that's how it'd been for a while. They added it so you could get 6 years. It cost like $150 million to do that. That's a big expense so that, you know, somebody can take 6 years to finish a 4-year program instead of 5 years to finish a 4-year program. Seems to me that's a big expense we could avoid, and it wouldn't harm all that many people, and it would make sure that taxpayer money is going for, you know, being used as efficiently as possible. Now, higher ed folks may not like that idea. The person who's on their sixth year of a 4-year program might not like that idea. But all those people, the vast majority of people who finished in 4 years or 4.5 years or even 5 years, they may like that idea because they didn't get any extra help.
There are some people, state workers, who will kind of use their paid family medical leave and their sick leave together in a strange way that actually ends up costing the state a lot of money, huh?
Yeah, this is a program that's just kind of coming to, or an issue that's just kind of coming to light. You know, we have the paid family leave system in our state. We had for a number of years. It's very popular, and where truly needed, I think it's a valuable thing. I support it, but in the last few years, the Democrats just keep adding more bells and whistles to it, and people are figuring out ways to, I would say, game the system. So right now we have a trend in state government where state government employees are being allowed to take paid family leave, which pays roughly, I think, 90% of their wage. And at the same time, they have sick leave, and they're being allowed to take that at the same time. So when they are off work, they are making almost twice as much money in this situation as they would make if they were working. That doesn't make sense to anybody. We want to make sure if folks have a health issue or they're sick, that they're well looked after. I don't think that's a partisan thing. But the idea that we're allowing, and by say we, you know, this starts at the executive branch. They're allowing this to happen for folks to say they can take two different types of leave payments at the same time and make twice as much money not working as they are working. That seems like a problem imminently worth solving. It doesn't make sense to do that. It costs the state money and therefore taxpayers money. And it's well beyond why the programs were put in place, which was simply to help people deal with unexpected or expected illness or health issues or family issues.
You know, I haven't heard you talk at all about new costs related to actions taken by the federal government or maybe a lack of revenue because of actions taken by the federal government. But the governor, after that, you mentioned earlier the revenue forecast, he put out a press release. And in that press release, he blamed a lot of these budget problems on the Trump administration. What do you make of that? And how much of this current deficit is because of actions taken at the federal level, and how much of it is just, you know, self-inflicted by state government and by legislative Democrats?
Yeah, you know, I have, you know, the governor and I disagree on many things, but I have worked really hard to try to, you know, support where I can and at least work together where I can. I was very disappointed by those comments. They were, disingenuous is the best thing I can say about them. But when you look at our budget situation, you look at the deficit, none of that is caused by federal actions. Now, there are some challenges in the future, but they're out, like, you know, the first one doesn't start for a year and a half, and then they spread out over the next 5 years. So there are some challenges, and I don't want to discount those entirely, but none of that is what got us into the problem we're in. we got into the, you know, the states and the problem we're in is because the Democratic majorities in the legislature have flat out overspent. And the governor who spoke, was pretty, claimed to be pretty fiscally conservative and was going to push back on new spending and new taxes, in the end, signed a budget that had, significant new spending and significant liabilities. I mentioned the big hole that was well known. I know he knew about it because I talked to him about it. There's other two or three other big known gimmicks in the budget that added up to about $2 billion. He knew all this. He knew that they were raising taxes by the largest in state history and making, unnecessary cuts. So he doesn't get a pass on that. And the idea that you can just blame somebody else, I get that he disagrees with the folks at the federal level. He's allowed to do that. But to blame them for problems that, the governor and his party very clearly caused, I just think is wrong. Take ownership, get after it, and let's fix it.
Well, yeah, that's what everybody says. The first, you have to admit that you have a problem before you could ever go about fixing it. Our Democrats admitting that, hey, we have a problem here.
No.
Partly they aren't at all.
So far, they've been unwilling to admit, in fact, in spite of the tracker, look, they've been in charge. Well, the governors, we've had a Democratic governor for over 50 years, but we've had a Democratic majority in the legislature since 2018. So they've been in charge at least the last 8 years. It's pretty hard for them to say, nope, it's somebody else's fault. They got to own that. And if they're truly committed to good government, and I like to believe some of them are, they got to own it and take real action, sometimes hard decisions, to get us on track. It's about time they stood up and did that.
People get frustrated. They're like, well, you're talking about all this. What are you going to do to make change? And I think it's maybe a good opportunity to again explain to people how government works. It's majority rules, right? I mean, that's the way it goes.
I mean, Republicans have offered very thoughtful alternatives. I mentioned earlier, as the majority struggled with the budget challenges earlier this year, we offered a complete budget that lived without any new taxes, that funded services to our most vulnerable. It did everything they say was important. But they basically refused to consider any of it. Well, we offered it informally, we offered it privately, we offered it publicly, we offered it in every imaginable way. And they basically said, no, thank you, we got this, and went out and spent, billions of new dollars and put in place, $9 billion new in state taxes. So I don't think they got anybody to blame but themselves. And again, if we're game, if you want to try and fix it and you want to really listen to Republicans, we're happy to participate. But we're not going to take responsibility for their poor decisions.
I guess as far as you're concerned, there are no more the new taxes are not needed at this point. I mean, if they come to you and say, hey, the only way we could balance this thing is by new taxes, you're going to say, look again, right? Republicans will not, I would imagine.
Absolutely. There is no possible way that the right answer to our budget problems is to follow, $9 billion in new taxes with additional taxes. Let's be clear. That's the largest tax increase in our state's history by, many factors, right? This is, prior to that, I can't remember one that was more than $2 billion over 4 years. So this is a very, very large tax increase. And if you come back and say, look, we mismanaged the budget so badly, we're now in the hole again, well, you're going to have to look other places. The people of the state of Washington, the economy of the state of Washington cannot handle more taxes. It will drive us down, not up.
What about the person who says, okay, Republican, if you don't raise taxes, I mean, you're just going to slash government, and that's going to hurt a lot of people.
So I still say that's a false choice. That's not how you do good budgeting. You do good budgeting by looking, and it's hard to get your head around this because normal people don't think about $78 billion in spending, right? There's a lot of spending. You have to spend weeks, hundreds of hours going through that to find it. But you have to, if you want to do serious budgeting, you got to dive into that and say, hey, where can we bend that cost curve over time? How can we continue to deliver services that the people need without overspending and control our costs? You got to do that on all kinds of different areas throughout the budget. That's how you You don't do that by, the Democrats love to say, oh, we're going to slash the thing. We're going to slash, K-12. We're going to slash something that's popular. That's just politicking. That's not really solving the problem. You really want to solve the problem, you got to dig in and do the hard work, and you got to make some hard decisions. And the hard decisions at this point can't be, oh, it's super hard to tax the people of the state of Washington more. That's not that hard a decision for the Democrats. They make that decision way too easily. The hard decisions are when you have to decide how you're going to run a program that truly delivers for our most vulnerable without overspending and without letting costs run away from you.
That's Senate Republican Leader John Braun. I'm Trace Yellis. This is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus.